what we're going to deal with is going to determine where we're at in 6 months. Does every person in here, including me, does every person in here realize that we have the potential of walking away and throwing the towel in and quitting on God? We have that potential. There's been some that have been a lot further down the road spiritually than us that's quit. Give up, throw in the towel. Think there's nothing to live for. And so I don't want to rush with it. And we're in perilous times. I know a lot of churches, a lot of people in churches today, they prefer the little quickie, get in, get out. But I'm going to tell you, that won't help you on the battlefield. That won't help you on the front lines. That won't help you put a garrison around your family. That won't help you. We're going to need all that we can get in these perilous days. We're going to need all the truth, all the Bible, all the preaching, all the fellowship. Amen. We're going to need every bit of it. We're going to need Sunday school, Sunday morning preaching service. We're going to need all the singing. We're going to need Sunday night. We're going to need Wednesday night. We're going to need Friday night jubilee. We're going to need revivals. We're going to need anything and everything that we can get. And I'm going to be here by the grace of God. That's right. I'm going to try to get what I can get. Not just from here, but I'm going to get what I can get at home. I'm going to study. Listen, you need to feed yourself on the Word of God. We sometimes think about liberalism and it's out in California or it's whatever. No, there was a church right here in Rogersville, right here in the city limits of Rogersville. The pastor, who is very well known, him and his wife, to be full-blooded liberals. Are you listening? Stood up in their church, his church, their church, whatever, and announced that there's nothing wrong with homosexuality. Showed his support, their backing for the sodomite lifestyle, and took down the Ten Commandments. And over half the church had walked out and left. I wouldn't have walked out. There'd have been somebody going out, but it wouldn't have been me. I promise you. I reported when I made it was confirmed. I said, I promise you one thing. That church bunch needs to get a backbone and run his tail out of town. That's right. But I said all that to say this to you, that, listen, liberalism don't stop at the front door and see what's on the church sign. And the attacks that are taking place in our country today, you think they're going to stop because the property and the building belongs to a church? They have no respect of anybody's possessions or anybody's person. I was told, I don't know how accurate this is, but I was told that same individual that was shown inside that gated community holding an AR and protecting his house and his wife, that he was a Democrat, or maybe still is, and that he had wrote a big support check to the BLM movement, and they were the ones that was threatening to kill him, threatening to burn his house down. They don't care how much money you give them. If you've got a nice house, they think they want it. And anyway, I better get off that. My blood pressure's going up. But anyway, I want us to look here. I want to know how I'm going to make it. I want to know what it's going to take for me to finish my course with joy. I don't want to just finish. I want to finish with joy. Finishing is what he did. With joy is how he's going to do it. I want to finish right, don't you? And I've been asking myself, Brother Aaron, the same question. What if? And mentally try to role play some possible scenarios. What if a gang pulls up in my driveway? What am I going to do? I think we ought to make decisions in our mind and try to prepare ourselves mentally. What are we going to do in action if something like that happens? Don't wait till the moment. Because in the moment, you may not think straight. Other things may influence. What are we going to do if? Someone comes through and breaks into our church during a church service. What are we going to do? I think there's nothing wrong with us trying to at least pre-plan, pre-prepare in our hearts what we're going to do in certain situations. What are we going to do if it comes down to the point to where our country is full-blown communist? What are you going to do? They're already wanting socialism, and socialism is nothing but the womb that gives birth to communism. That's all it is. Amen. You swallow the socialist idea, everything free, let everybody else pay for it, and nobody has to pay nothing back. It don't cost nobody nothing. Listen, you're living in a dream fantasy world if you think that's reality. Everything's got a price tag. Everything's got strings attached to it. Yeah, they'll give you everything, but you must bow and serve and submit to them. Oh, yeah, that's exactly right. But I'm interested in what is found in the Song of Solomon, chapter number 8. And we all know that Solomon was referred to by our Lord as being the wisest man outside of himself that ever lived. Why? Solomon, David's son. Solomon wrote, according to 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 32, Solomon spake 3,000 proverbs and 1,005 songs he wrote. He was a very smart man. He wrote 3 books of our Bible. He wrote the book of Proverbs, which is a rule book. He wrote the book that is before us this morning, Song of Solomon. That is a romance book. And then he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, which was a regret book. He goes through that book saying, don't do as I did. Don't live as I lived. Don't choose what I chose. Don't do as I did. You'll find out as I did that it's all vanity and vexation of spirit. There's vanity. There's no substance to it. That's what vanity is. It's just no substance, no reality. It does not leave you with anything left. Amen. It's vanity. So we find those 3 books, Proverbs a rule book, Song of Solomon a romance book, and then Ecclesiastes a regret book. But I'm interested in the romance book in one verse of one chapter. As he comes to the close in chapter number 8, a question is asked, and I've looked at this before and it has become fresh in my mind and my meditation over the past a week or a week and a half, or maybe even a little bit longer than that. It is stirring me up because I've been asking myself, how am I going to survive in a country that is going to, if it continues the way it's going, have no resemblance to the America that I was born in, the America that I went to school in, the America that I was raised in all of the years of my life to this point. But we've all seen it change drastically and overnight, it seemed. We've seen that it go in directions that we never thought our country would ever go in. And if there's any country, someone said it earlier, I think who was saying that about Israel and Miss Amanda. Israel and America, 2 blessed countries, and I believe God's blessing America because of our camaraderie with Israel, our standing with Israel. God told Abraham, I'll bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse them that curse thee. The day that America turns its back on the Jews and upon Israel, listen, is a day that you could start marketing our march to the graveyard as a nation. That's exactly right. Amen. Lord, help us. Our president, we're thankful that he moved the U.S. Embassy to Israel. Right there. Boy, that was a big, bold move, wasn't it? That was telling the world, we're standing with Israel. We believe in them. Amen. They're God's chosen people. But I tell you, America is hated, probably second to Israel. Israel's hated, and every nation, according to Bible prophecy, every nation will at one point turn against Israel. And if every nation does, that means somewhere down the way, America's going to be included. But that'll be a sad day, won't it? But our country's hated, just as Israel's hated. And I believe it's because of the three pledges we gave earlier. I believe it's because of that and the price behind all three that came to us. All three of those come to us through the course of bloodshed. There's bloodshed behind that Bible getting into our hands. That King James Bible getting into our hands. There's bloodshed that was traced all along the way. Amen. There was a flag that we didn't have here, and it's the Baptist flag. That it's the Baptist flag, the book, the blood, the blessed hope flag. I want to tell you that flag, we don't have one here. It's not because we're against it, we just don't have one. We're to get one, I guess. But that flag also come to us with bloodshed. Oh yeah, friend. I don't have time for any church that is so stinking loose and liberal that they take Baptists off their church sign. I don't have the time of day, have no regard, no respect for anybody that's that spineless to want us to cross all the lines and blend in with anything and everything. Amen. I'm unashamed of it. I'm unashamed that I'm a Christian. I'm unashamed. This is going out over the worldwide web, welcome world. I'm unashamed at being a Christian. I'm unashamed at being identified. Thank God with that Christian flag, my Christian heritage, and the Christian influence that made this country. You think it was a bunch of redneck rebels that came and started this country? No. The founding documents of our country has got Christian influences all in it. They sought counsel from Baptist preachers, not just Christian influence, but Baptist influences on the founding documents of this country. Amen. Well, I don't know where all that went, but there it is. But the question that's asked in verse number 5 of chapter 8 proposes to me the answer. Proposes to me how that you deal with a wilderness. Would you not agree that our country is quickly becoming a wilderness? It is a wilderness of immorality. It is a wilderness of anti-patriotism. It is a wilderness when wrong is made right and right is declared to be wrong, and there's an attack on everything that's decent. And you can count on it that if it continues on its present course, that we'll see the day where the Constitution of the United States will be done away with. Our only founding document, the law of the land. And once that's done away with, you can count on it. Everything else will go with it. The Bill of Rights will go with it. All that we have to support us as we the people will be flushed down the toilet. Amen. It'll be gone. And then it'll be an age of lawlessness. It'll be an age of absolute free-for-all lawlessness. The Bible said, Paul said in to the church of Thessalonica, he said, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. That word iniquity means lawlessness. It's already at work, friend. A lawless society. Who would have ever imagined that? Who would have ever believed that? But that's what happens when a person, a family, a church, a county, a country, a city, anybody goes away from God and the governing principles of Scripture. That's what happens. It decay sets in. When life is gone, decay and rot starts in effect. Amen? Look at the question. I'll read verse number 4 with it. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that you stir not up, nor awake my love until he please. Verse 5, the question, who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved. That's why I asked Sister Vicky to sing that song. I don't know if anybody else sings that, but I felt like asking her to sing that. I didn't know if anybody else would sing that. Anytime that ever happens and I do ask somebody to sing a song and you happen to be, give me the benefit of the doubt. I'm 59, amen. 59 in ulcers. I got ulcers. Give me the benefit of the doubt that I never even thought nothing about who else sings that song. Okay? I'm just human, praise God. I'm trying to keep my sanity and my spirituality. And it's hard to keep both, amen, especially the sanity part. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? Notice this, this scene. Get this in your mind. See if you can get this in your mental imagery of this scene of a lady, and she's leaning upon her beloved, and she's coming up from a wilderness. This leaning process is going on within the scene of a wilderness. We are in a wilderness, friend. Every way you look, any subject you want to consider, we're in a wilderness. A wilderness is known as a place that is desolate. A place that is dry. A place that is destructive. A place of death. God never means for us to live our life in the boundaries of a wilderness. The children of Israel, when they were led victoriously out of the Egypt's bondage, He led them into the wilderness. But He never led them into that wilderness for it to be a place of abode. He did not want them to live there. He wanted it to be a passage. He wanted the wilderness to be just a temporary journey. And of course, they began to fall apart. Many of them fall apart because that wilderness proved to be a test. That wilderness, Brother Craddock, proved to be a testing ground that showed that all of those that came out of Egypt wasn't what they thought they were. Because here's what they found out. They found out you can get people out of Egypt, but you can't hardly get Egypt out of people sometimes. And so the problem started to surface quickly. Soon as they got out of Egypt and they got into the wilderness, and instead of passing right on through the wilderness and right on into the land of Canaan, the Spirit-filled life, which is God's destiny for every believer to be living in this life. Amen. If you look at Ephesians 5:18, and most in here, several in here probably could quote that verse. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You know what? That puts that as a command, not an option, not a choice. It's not something that you can choose or not do. Just as drinking alcohol is a sin for a sinner, well, and for Christians too. That's right. But also, the other part of that verse, Brother Scott, is also true. But be filled with the Spirit. It's just as wrong for us to not be filled with the Spirit of God as it is for someone to be filled, intoxicated with alcohol. Amen. Well, we're quick to throw, we're quick to preach against that. We're quick to express our notions about drinking alcohol and the damage and the destructivity that it has caused to our country and our homes and marriages. Amen. The path of hell has got the aroma of alcohol all the way from start to finish. Amen. Billy Sunday, every time he opened his mouth, he nailed it. He dealt with that and gambling as two of his major subjects, and he nailed it. He said, as long as I've got I've got teeth, he said, I'm going to bite it. But he said, when I don't have teeth, he said, I'm going to gum it. He said, amen. As long as I've got a foot, I'm going to kick it. Amen. As long as I've got a hand, I'm going to punch it. He said, I'm going to stand against it as long as I'm alive, is what he was saying. But people have become so sympathetic now that even churches and preachers, they agree with and condone social drinking and even practice it. I'm going to tell you, friend, you know this, but I'm just going to re-scotch this thought in your heart. You are sitting in a church today that is quickly becoming a dinosaur in this hour, in this church age. Amen. Amen. Preacher Rackling, preaching like I do, that God leads me to do, and I preach the Word of God. I don't ever want to get out of the Bible. I want to stay in the Bible. I want to tell you, you can't hardly find a Bible preacher in our day. Amen. I'm not saying that to toot my horn. I'm just saying that is reality. Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come. The time will come. And I wrote right above that word will in my Bible, has. For the time will come when men shall not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And will be turned unto fables. Are you listening? Amen. We better try to make sure that there's at least one church in Rogersville that is not collapsing, that is not compromising, that is not falling apart. We need to make sure. Are you listening? I'm making sure you don't have a pastor that's going to stand up and say that sodomy is okay and express my disdain against the Ten Commandments and remove them if we were to have them up. Amen. But you need to make sure of what's in the pew. It's your responsibility to make sure of what's in the pew and that we've got a strong unit, that we've got a strong tie, that we've got a strong fellowship. Amen. The day of playing church is over. The day of being a casual Christian, coasting along, just floating along with ease is over. We're in the battle zone now. We're in the days known in the Bible as the last days, perilous times. We're in the days prior to the coming of the Lord. And I want to tell you, wickedness is going to abound. The love of men is going to wax cold. There's going to be a great falling away. You just listen. You don't have to be a part of it. It is prophesied. 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians make it very clear that there's going to be a great falling away prior to the coming of the Lord. But I want to tell you, though that is prophesied and though it is going to happen, I don't have to be a part of it. RBT does not have to be a part of it. Amen. Your family don't have to be a part of it. Thank God. Hallelujah. That's right. We can stand all the way to the finish line. Amen, that's right. I felt something right there. Praise God. Amen, that's right. I feel in my soul this morning. I want to finish right. I want to finish standing. I want to finish scripturally. I don't want nobody to ever say, I wonder what Preacher Rackley's doing. Looks like he's wobbling on the shaft. Looks like he's cooling down. Looks like he's encountering and entertaining the thought of compromise. Are you listening? And I'm telling you, I am very concerned about and been thinking a lot about what do I have? Do I have what it takes? When there's a fiery furnace, a part of the equation that if you don't bow, this is going to be the result. I wonder how many had quit coming to RBT if it became some kind of law. You said, no, it won't. Are you kidding? If you'd have said it last year, I might have said no. But this year, anything could happen, and it could happen overnight. Do I have what it takes to drive my car over here when I know the chances are that I could be hauled off to jail? I've been asking myself that. Oh, anybody can get on the mountaintop when everybody's patting you on the back and, oh, preacher, actually this and that. But do I have what it takes to keep going when empty pew after empty pew after empty pew is resulting in our church? Amen. I want to tell you, friend, that bothers me. I'm questioning, I'm looking, I'm checking out on the inside of myself. Do I have what it takes? Amen. I'm trying to put myself mentally in different scenarios and see if I've got something that'll stand up or if I've got something that's going to walk away. And I suggest those of you in the pews, those that make up the assembly here at RBT, you need to be looking and inquiring honestly of your own self, evaluating your own self to see if you have what it takes when family walks away and friends walk away and people that you've invested your life in start showing inconsistency and unfaithfulness. And it's evident they've got leaving on their mind. Quitting would be easier if you take God out of the equation. If you take the judgment seat of Christ out of the equation. Amen. And the young preachers of our church, the preachers of our church, Brother Henry, listen, you've been preaching a long time, and I respect you and your wife as much as anybody I know, and I mean that. I say that to your face. I say it behind your back. We're honored here at RBT to have y'all. Just because of the additional testimony that you add to our church, that God led you here. I mean, we all could say that. God led me here. But they've been in this thing how long? How long you been preaching? 50-something years? 43. Been married 50-something. I get it. Anyway, it's high numbers. It's way up there. On any subject you want to talk about, it's high numbers. But I'm glad. Listen, we need that influence. I'm not a lone ranger. I can't make it on myself. Listen, I know God's my sufficiency. I know that. That just John illustrates that. Brother Zach on the Isle of Patmos, there wasn't nobody, Brother McCarricker, but John. And you know what John found when he got there exiled on the Isle of Patmos? He found out immediately when he got in the Spirit on the Lord's day that they may exile me to a place where they think is going to shut me down and shut me up. I want to tell you, John got in the Spirit on the Lord's day in the place of exile and had an encounter with God, had an encounter with Jesus, and he ended up writing the 22 chapters of the book of Revelation for us. Amen. Write the things which was, which is, and which is to come. And he pins her down and says, get ready. Jesus is coming. And he got so carried away just writing about it on the Isle of Patmos. I could see him there, nobody around, and start screaming, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh, I'd have been complaining about the barrenness of that island. I would have been complaining about how they treated me for no cause. I'd have been doing all of that, but no. John was caught up in the fact that this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. You know, when you get discouraged, when your focus is on the nasty now and now. When you look at your bank account and you look at the fickleness of our nation and you look at the uncertainties of our finances, amen, and you look at whatever that you want to look at when it's tied to this life, will all be reasons to be down and defeated. But John got so carried away of talking about the Lord and the kingdom and the amen. Come, Lord. Oh, my goodness. Amen. You know, and I've used this before, but it's on my heart right now. You know, when the children of Israel, they were in Egypt's bondage for over 400 years. And you know when God sent a deliverer, or if you could say it, a savior. You know when God sent someone to lead them out? God said it out of his own mouth. When he talked to Moses up there at the burning bush, he said, I've heard their cry. It got so bad, the bondage got so bad, the task drivers got so bad that they started crying out, and that cry went into the ears of God. What was that cry? It had to be, oh God, send us a deliverer, send us a savior, send somebody that will lead us out. I can't prove this, but I believe it's so that it's going to get in a condition, even in America, to where God's people are going to be begging Jesus, come quickly. Oh Lord, come quickly. Amen. Well, I got sidetracked there a little bit, or maybe I got on track. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness leaning upon her beloved? This question right here, and I'm going to just unhook. If the Lord lead, I'll get back on it tonight. We better learn to lean. Miss Vicki sang that song, Learning to Lean. You know, that's right, isn't it? You don't just wake up one morning, you got it. And wake up the next morning, you still got it. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about that leaning. Oh, I can trust the Lord. I'm going to lean on him. No matter what it looks like, sounds like, feels like, I'm going to lean on the Lord. What other options do I have? Oh, Lord, help us. My salvation is intact, but I want to tell you, there's mornings I get up and wonder what in the world I'm going to do. What are we going to do? Are you listening? I can't wait. I want to focus in on that statement, that question, and we're going to dissect it. There's so much in that one question. It is unreal. And if the Lord will help me, and I can get to it tonight, I can't wait to get on those words. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness? I like that direction, don't you? Cometh up. Leaning allows me to not just exit the wilderness, but to exit on and up. Leaning keeps your wilderness from winning. And we're in a wilderness. Young people, I'm telling you, it's not just for us adults. You need to learn to lean upon the Lord. You need to learn to do that. Amen. I'm wanting to get it. I want to get it. What it means, Brother Ron, for us to lean upon the Lord. You don't have to be a preacher to have that. You can be just a young convert and know how to lean on the Lord and trust in the Lord. And we're going to be going in and dealing with what it means to lean upon the Lord. Let's bow for just a word of prayer. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. I want to thank you, Lord, that your mercies and your faithfulness and your compassions fail not. And I want to thank you, Lord, that we can count on you. Lord, even in times that you really maybe cannot count on us, but we can always count on you. And Lord, I'm thankful for the scriptures that the Apostle Paul gave to us, that when we're not faithful, yet he abideth faithful. And Lord, I'm thankful today that the wilderness should not be my focus. Lord, I want to thank you that my beloved, the one that I'm leaning on, is to be my focus. And Lord, I want to thank you today, Lord, that we can encounter whatever's coming our way and do so spiritually and successfully and not lose our joy. But the key is our leaning upon the Lord. Father, I pray you'll take this song and work deep in our heart that we've already been through enough. We've already been through enough to know that you're going to be enough for me. And Lord, I get reports about churches and preachers collapsing, and as the one here in town did just this week, last Sunday, I believe. And Lord, I'm bothered by that. But it's not going to move me. If it moves me in any direction, it's going to move me to want to stand more firm, stand stronger. Because people are going to need a church that they can attend and go to. That's going to be a place that takes their stand upon the Word of God and emphasizes our leaning upon the Lord. Lord, I pray you help us with this subject. Lord, thank you for freshening it up in my heart, and thank you for making it big in my soul over the past week and a half or so. And Lord, I pray you'd use it for your glory. If anyone needs to come, Lord, bless them in that regard. But help us to get it. Lord, you're wanting to give us something. You're wanting to give us something, Lord, that'll help us to not quit, but to continue and finish the race that is set before us. Have your way, Lord, in Jesus' name.
When I first began to walk with the Lord, I did not fully trust him. And how he longed for me to understand that I could. Yeah. So through the valley he led me, afraid as I could be. Then I felt his loving arms embracing me. Amen. And I've been through enough to know he'll be enough for me. He's come through too many times that puts my mind at ease. And I'll stake my very life, he's gonna take care of me. Doubt a God whose hands holds this universe. Yes, yes. And how could I ever question his ability? There's no place that I can go that he doesn't know exactly what I need. He's always aware of wherever I am and just what I need. And I've been through enough to know he'll be enough for me. He's come through too many times that puts my mind at ease. And I'll stake my very life, he's gonna take care of me. How could I ever doubt a God whose hands holds this universe? And how could I ever question his ability? There's no place that I can go that he doesn't know exactly what I need. He's always aware of wherever I am and just what I need. And I've been through enough to know he'll be enough for me. puts my mind at ease. And I'll stake my very life, he's gonna take care of me.